Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, on the celebration of this Reformation Sunday, instead of using a text of Scripture, I will eventually work in one, but I'd like to draw your attention to Luther's Reformation hymn, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word." It is, next to "A Mighty Fortress," one of his best-known compositions. And when it was published in 1542, it appeared with the subtitle, "A Children's Hymn," wait for this, "to be sung against the two archenemies of Christ and his Holy Church, the Pope and Turk." What is going on with Luther? Luther and the Reformers' theological conflict with the various popes is well known. The political conflict between the Holy Roman Empire, to which the Reformers and princes belonged, and the Turkish Ottoman Empire was also a factor in the time of the Reformation. In Luther's day, the Turks controlled not only much of Middle East and North Africa, but they also held land in the Middle East, in Southeastern Europe, places like Greece, Bulgaria, Romania, and the Balkans. And so in early 1500s, there were a series of battles in Austria and Hungary between the Turks and the Holy Roman Empire. The siege of Vienna in the autumn of 1529 led to the decision of Emperor Charles V. You remember him. He's the one who called the Augsburg Diet, to which Luther gave his famous statements. And, so he was there for the theological disputations that were going along. But more important was to unite the Holy Roman Empire against the threat of the Turkish opposition. In 1541, there were two additional battles between the Holy Roman Empire and the Ottoman Turks, which led Luther to pen this hymn. The army of the Holy Roman Empire was defeated in Budapest in August, and the imperial fleet was largely destroyed in Algiers in that October. So Luther felt like he was surrounded by enemies, both forces from the Pope and the Turk. He wrote an appeal for the people to pray against the Turks. I won't try to pronounce it in German. And then he wrote, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word," to encourage the people of God in the face of their enemies. The second line of the hymn originally read, "Restrain the murderous Pope and Turk." So while that may seem to be harsh in terms of how the Pope was described, in Luther's time, people who were declared heretics by the church were often executed by the sword or by fire. The translation was later changed to "curb those who by deceit or sword," so that he would include all the enemies of the church. So here's the translation as it appears in our hymnal. Let's look at the first verse together. In fact, let's read it together. "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring all to naught all he has done." This hymn is written in a threefold Trinitarian format. The first verse is an appeal to God the Father to preserve us by his word rather than by the force of arms. God never promises victory in battle over our enemies. Pearl Harbor, the 9/11 attacks were reminders that there will be times when our enemies may triumph over us as a nation. Interestingly, Luther does not lead his people to pray for the imperial armies or for victory in battle, but for God to sustain his people by his word, come what may. Let's look at and read the second verse together. Lord Jesus Christ, your power made known, for you are Lord of lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise triumphantly. In this second verse, Luther emphasizes the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ with the title Lord of Lords from Revelation 17. He is Lord over all emperors, kings, presidents, rulers of every kind. The original German of the third line actually refers to the church not as holy, but as poor. And I think what he meant by that was we're in constant need of help that only Jesus can give. And his rescue of his people always leads to praise and thanksgiving. Let's look at the third verse and read together. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. So the Holy Spirit, the third verse, calls on the Holy Spirit to send unity to the people of God so that we work together and are not divided in the face of opposition. Our greatest struggle, Scripture tells us, is not against any earthly power, but against death itself, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. No matter what happens to us in this world, we trust that the Holy Spirit will raise us from the dead and give to us eternal life. This is our hope. As Luther wrote in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all believers and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Well, as you might have surmised, the Ottoman Empire is long gone, but the church is still surrounded by enemies, from false teachers who would lead us away from Christ to political forces that seek to destroy us. Isn't it funny that we're encouraged to avoid speaking about two things? You know what they are. What are those two things? Religion and politics. And yet those two things probably have the most impact on our lives, don't you think? However, in my view, the greatest enemy of the faith is not religion or politics. For us, it's secularism. Secularism is defined by Webster's dictionary, and boy, listen to this, indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion and religious consideration. Indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion and religious consideration. Let me ask you a question. How has secularism advanced our society? How has the removal of God from the civic conversation blessed us? Well, I guess there is a benefit, as I see it. The first has been the removal of governmental intrusion from religious affairs. That's a good thing. Our founding fathers were wise to see that forcing one religion upon an entire nation is not a good thing. Christianity is a religion of the heart and the mind, where the Holy Spirit works. It is not a religion of force, but of persuasion. St. Paul writes, and I love this, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. For the weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy the strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know, the motto in Luther's day, the Latin was cuius regio, that means whose religion, eius religio, his religion, meaning whoever was in charge of the government at the time, whoever was the political leader of that day, whatever his religion was going to be your religion. And if you had a different opinion or a different religion than the leader of your regional area, you best just pick up and move to another area, because things aren't going to bode well for you. You're going to be persecuted. Well, the Constitution of our country forbids that kind of governmental intrusion and actually allows the Spirit of God to work freely. And of course, there's no better way to honor that freedom than by expressing our faith purely and honestly, gently, lovingly. But there is an adverse effect to the right to worship freely or not. It's called, as I said before, secularism. Secularism, or the indifference or rejection of religion, has infiltrated the ethos of our country. What I mean by that is Americans, while acknowledging their faults and abuses in history, has until recent times always had a Christian spirit in its culture. We've heard our parents talk about it. Our Constitution allows for the changing of laws when there have been those abuses. But the laws of the land were respected generally by all. There was also a neighborly aspect that existed between people who looked out for one another. Today, due to the indifference or rejection of religion or secularism, everybody's on their own. You know, I believe the reason gun sales are going through the roof is because people are afraid. You can't always rely on someone to be there to help you. You have to protect yourself. You have to protect your family. Because of religious indifference, rejection of religion, there's also no respect for life. This week, that truth got pretty close to us with the school shooting at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School in St. Louis this past Monday, leaving one teacher and one student dead, and a school community in absolute terror and grief. As we face growing violence and terror around us, Luther's hymn, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, reminds us to turn to the Lord in the Holy Scriptures and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords, who has won the victory over all of our enemies and who will give us victory over death on the resurrection on the day of our Lord. So I'll make one more reference to our gospel lesson. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you truly are my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. May this hymn remind us to stay in the Word. May the Lord remove this secular spirit that is taking over our country and infiltrating even the church and making us indifferent to God and our neighbor. And let me remind you that this secularistic principle doesn't jive with our 4G pathway of discipleship to glorify God, to gather together, to go into the world with this message, and to give to support that ministry that's so critical for this world's freedom. Remember that the Lord will keep His promise. He will deliver us from this world of trouble. And that's why we pray and sing with Luther, Lord, keep us steadfast in Your word. Amen.